Okay, so. Oh, I believe Jerry, you're on.
Good afternoon, commissioners and public. For the month of June, we had 111 calls. Gives us a total for the year of 537 to date. That gives us 17 more calls than we were at last year, and gives us a 3.27% increase. So our number of calls with EMTs, 2.8. We had 19 calls that we transport patients to Island Air, and 7 calls to airlift. One of those calls to airlift was a direct from the field to airlift, and in fact, we had one of those again today. Just on a side note, in July, we had one call with the Coast Guard, which was a boat accident that the Coast Guard brought in to the Port of Friday Harbor, and then we had the Coast Guard helicopter come in, and with our paramedic, we transported the patient off to Harborview, and that patient is doing well. The financial documents that you have there, the first one is your monthly financial county documents that you normally get. And then I also have in there the 2018 budget that with the half a year showing where we are to date for the first 6 months. Financial reviews, our revenue is $97,086 with a year-to-date of $1,201,027, which is 57.5% of our yearly budget. Expenses is $156,217 with a year-to-date of $936,052 or 45% of our budget. Our cash reserves are $942,169, which is about 6 months of our average expense. Chris, was there anything that you wanted to add on that?
I don't think so. I think that covered it. Just to point out, our cash balances right now are real healthy. We've got 6 months of expenses in cash. I'm seeing here on this, you'll be covering some of our budget planning that we have going on that we'll be presenting next month.
Yeah, correct. So for our budget, we have received $28,000 from the ACH for our community paramedics program. And that's going to be, that's unrestricted for a five county planning use. So we're looking at this with the other five counties to see how we can better use this money for our community paramedicine program and planning, or what we have to use for ourselves. That's phase one, that's already been done. And then phase two, we're in a process of working on that, which that paperwork is due next week. And I think that'll bring us up to about $40,000 with the rest of this budget being restricted. Staffing, we have on our new business, so I'll talk about that when we get to it on the temporary replacement for Caitlin. And then next month we'll have the amended budget for your approval, your review and approval. Going down to the IAFF Local 3219, we have contract negotiations already set for August 23rd, 27th, and September 19th. We're anticipating that we could probably get this done in 2 days, but we've got a third day in there just in case, so we need to go there. The CID, there's no report. I talked to our attorney, James Fredman, and he's waiting for some information back from the Attorney General's office. Operations, everything is going well. And I threw in there to your, if you look on page 30, I believe, of the report is the breakdown that Dr. Appleton wanted for response times for the month of June. And this is the number of calls that we've had in June, and we've had broke down to the town of Friday Harbor, and then the rest of the county, and then the wilderness areas, which is including of two islands, or the islands that we serve, that we had two calls out there. These response times do not include, so when you go down to the bases down there, and you see the very bottom where it says the suburban area 20 minutes or less 80% of the time, these numbers do not include transfers from Island Air to Airlift, mm-hmm. that calls that are canceled, calls that we are responding code yellow, calls to the village residents, welfare checks, or even the we had a transfer from Orcas Fire. So anytime that we're not going to if this isn't considered a 911 call, they're not included. So you can see that our response times, and this includes from the time that the call is dispatched, when we receive the call, to when our wheels stop at the scene. So for us to get our medic from call to wheel stop was 8 minutes 32 seconds. The ambulance took 9 minutes 52 seconds. And we just need, the time was is a 20 minute, that we get there within 20 minutes 80% of the time. The rural area, which is everything else on the island, is the medic got there 18 minutes 32 seconds, and the ambulance got there in 19 minutes 59 seconds. So based on an organization that's backbone is volunteers, these are good numbers.
Thank you for putting that together.
Yes.
Else?
That concludes my report. Commissioners, do you have any questions of me?
I do.
So, I'd like to make a comment. Sorry, I've talked over you. Was that you, Arisa?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So, if I understand correctly, Chief, you got $28,000, the first award for just your agency from ACH.
I believe so. I do not know what the other islands, if they requested it or not. But yes, yeah, so we did from the ACH.
Very good. So I want to congratulate you for that successful effort. I know you've been working many, many months with the ACH. I think the world of you, and sure enough, you reap this great benefit. That said, we haven't had a community paramedicine subcommittee for a long time now. Are you going to resume those now that the ACH is at hand?
That's our plan, yes, sir.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thanks, Jerry.
I had another question, actually. I wanted to ask where you're at with a supervising position for EMS.
We have two physicians that we've talked with, and those two physicians are looking at their schedule to see how long, see if they're available mm-hmm. for that, and we're thinking that one has been waiting to see if she resides in Port Townsend, and she works here as a physician here at the hospital. And so there's a possibility of the medical program director's position opening up over there, which she would take. So she is waiting on that. She said that probably be at the end of summer, so the end of next month before we know. The other physician that we've talked to, he's a physician part-time here, a physician up at St. Joe's in Bellingham, and also a physician down in Seattle, and he wants to wait to the end of the month to see what his schedule's looking like.
I mean, it's been at least 6 months without a supervising physician.
Mm-hmm.
And the board voted in January 5-0 to put Dr. Sullivan in place. And so I'm just wondering why we don't have a supervising position at this point. I'm worried about oversight, and I'm worried about run reviews and things like that. So how do you explain us not having a supervising position at this point for training? And
there's a lot of places do not have supervising physicians.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of places rely on their medical program director for those services.
Mm-hmm.
And in a supervising physician's position, or the delegated medical program director delegate, is exactly that. It's a delegate that the medical program director, he says, I'm too busy, I need to delegate this work to somebody else. And Dr. Sullivan has delegated himself over on Orcas Island and on the other islands to do other work for extra funds.
Yeah, he's in contract with them to be
yes.
their supervisor.
And so when we tried to get Dr. Sullivan last summer, but we didn't have we didn't agree on our contract mm-hmm. language, mm-hmm. and that's when he broke off contract negotiations with me and went to the board. And then after that, when I accepted to stay on as chief, Dr. Sullivan was asked if he could reapply for the position. He did not.
My understanding is the board voted 5-0 to have you negotiate, get a contract in place with him.
No, that's not true.
Well, I was part of that meeting, and I voted. And so it was a unanimous direction from the board. And I don't understand why it hasn't happened.
I'd have to go back and read those notes to see if that is exactly what was said. Because that's not what I was told. That's not the direction I got.
Now, I was there as well, Chief, and it was 5 affirmative votes. That said, the board was very different than it is today. Two of the commissioners who were present for that vote are no longer with us. So if it comes to a board a decision yet again, you need to redo it. That's number one. Number two is that contractually you had the prerogative, Chief, of selecting a supervising physician. It's not a board decision, it's a chief of EMS decision. So if the board so chooses to override your choice, so be it, but the board has not made that clear at all.
Well, I've got to say that I am concerned that we don't have one in place.
There's a lot of things that have me concerned, Commissioner, too, and I think that and having the I want to really make sure I say this correctly, that if we had a I'm going to leave it at that. I am also concerned as well,
good.
Probably more so than you.
Glad we shared the concerns.
Thank you, Chief.
Okay. I believe it's time for audience participation, which we have a 15-minute limit for, and asking to limit your comments to 3 minutes a person. So we have 5 people maximum, so do we have 5 people? I'm sorry, raise your hands again. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, perfect.
Okay.
So, Karen?
I'll go for it.
Yeah, you're in the front.
Mics aren't working again.
I have a lot about
I have no idea why.
The cash accounting system. and we've heard a lot about how complicated accounting is. Are you going to be able to do this in 3 months?
Why are you saying 3 months?
November. The auditors will be back. The auditors from the state.
Oh, yes. I'm very confident that it will be be ready for them.
Good.
Yes.
Because we've had delays and delays and delays.
Yes. I work many, many extra hours trying to get that done, and I will work as many hours as it takes to have it correct when they come. Yes.
I'm sorry. Yes.
I'm Dr. John Gannon. As a former member of this hospital district in the early 90s, as a physician who practiced at Near Island Medical Center for 7 years from 1997, and as a member of the Board of Health in recent years here and now, I want to register my concern about the level of oversight medically. I'm very concerned about why we don't have a medical supervising physician. Dr. Sullivan has done a great job for this island and for the rest of the county for a number of years. He's very well qualified. I can't understand why 6 months later he isn't under contract. I think he should be. Run reviews are a very important part of quality assurance and also education of the other providers. I gather that run reviews haven't been done even back to the spring of 2017. Dr. Stone, I gather, stayed in Portland, and so run reviews have been pretty lacking here, and it's a very important part, I think, of quality assurance and education. So I really wonder why this has not happened after that 5-0 vote in January.
Thank you. Barbara.
Are these questions not recorded as part of the record?
We have a recorder going. Oh. But the mics aren't working. Sorry.
Okay. Good afternoon, commissioners. I'm Barbara Sharp. I'm a resident of San Juan Island and concerned citizen and taxpayer. I was very glad to see that there's apparently another viable offer, hopefully viable within the parameters of the statute, that is before you to sell the IIMC building. This has been a financial millstone around the district since late 2012, I believe, is when it was vacated and Peace Health opened. And it was rented out as it cost well over $30,000 a year to maintain it. Been going on all these years since then. And also, it was rented out for a pittance until January 2016, at which time it was properly cleaned up. The tenants got all their stuff out, and Superintendent Hutchins oversaw some changes in the exterior, improved landscaping, made it into a viable, acceptable piece of property that could be actively marketed. And that was in early 2016. So I hope that you consider whatever offer is on the table, assuming that it is within the parameters, and get rid of this economic millstone off of the neck of the district.
Thank you, Barbara. Sure.
I'm going to try to be polite and respectful, but I would like to echo the concerns about not having run reviews. And the medical program director for the county is Dr. Sullivan. He does run reviews for Orcas, Shaw, Lopez, and the fire district in Whatcom County. He used to do them, as I understand, for you guys several years ago. And it's the obvious solution. If everybody else is satisfied with what he does, why aren't we? And he explained that what the run reviews do is he reviews every single run for quality assurance, and then he takes a collection or selects some, and then to the group, they go through it. So it's educational. We're not getting any of that, and it's just total nonsense that you guys are letting all these personality crap and stuff get in the way. I mean, do your job. Make sure there's the proper oversight. This is just getting ridiculous.
Thank you. Sharon. Leslie.
Hi, my name is Leslie Brennan, citizen of Snohomish County. I'm curious to find out why the board changed the meetings from 5 o'clock to 3 o'clock, because I think it limits the number of people who are able to attend.
Thank you.
We talked about that, was it the last meeting? We changed the time to from 5 to 3. I believe that pretty much all the other organizations on the island have earlier meetings. We decided that it would be good to have an earlier meeting where we would have the opportunity to be able to make calls or do business during a meeting if we needed to. And also there are people on the other side that work nights and so can't come then. So we have both sides of the situation. So I'm not sure. I mean, we're going to please some people, not please some people. So the majority of meetings, council meetings, the commissioner meetings, the fire district meetings, they're all at 3, and we were just in line with that.
I voted against moving them to 3 o'clock because I feel like it's important that the public be able to attend afterwards.
It's very important. It feels to me that since the new shift of commissioners, and leaving the county where it's been videoed and streamed and recorded, and now it's right back to where it used to be, where barely anyone can, show up, and there's no more video streaming or live streaming, just recordings. I think it really kind of sucks for the people who live here. They don't know what the heck's going on anymore until something major occurs, and then they all get involved.
Okay. These don't work anymore. Okay. Thanks.
Can I address?
Thank you. So let's move on to unfinished business now. The committee report for the EMS Fire Department talks and that the Citizen Advisory Group. I'm going to turn that over to you, Pam, because you talked about all that earlier in your report. So just briefly, she reported, and their next meeting is August 22nd, and they continue, and I guess I would just add that I'd like to extend the board's great appreciation for the committee members who are spending a lot of time and a lot of effort looking into this. And we're lucky to have two of them here with us. Do we not have two? Citizen Advisory? Well,
yes.
We have Chuck,
yeah.
And we have Rick. Thank you, in person. We appreciate it. Committee report, Commissioner Lindstrom, the CCC.
Yeah, great meeting. It's always just so inspiring to see all of our public health agencies working together and making sure that they are collaborating to provide really the best that they can for our community. That's what it's all about. They have come out with the San Juan Islands Community Resource Guide. These are going to be widely available. They're going to be sharing them at the fair. It's a resource listing. There's all the agencies that are actually involved at this time. They're open to more people. They've launched a website. The idea is that if you're in the doctor's office and you're looking for information, say, on nutrition, there's a you can go to the website, you can look up the resources, and I think it's a great collaboration between Peace Health and the health department and other organizations in our community. So that was a large topic of conversation about the launch of this program and its exposure. We also touched on the progress getting more needle collection sites here on the island and the steps that are happening for that. So I think that's about it.
That was a good meeting.
Yeah, it was a great meeting. It's nice to see how much work can get done when people are working together.
Okay, and the committee report, the review of the EMS training certification by myself. So this committee met again on July 11th. We'd had a meeting in June to continue working on the agency's education program. And we will be meeting again to finalize these items pertaining to education as well as other agenda items. And the next meeting is going to be the first part of August, and we'll be reporting on that at the next board meeting and perhaps have some finalizations.
So that was the meeting that you had with the representative from the Department of Health about your certification?
Yes.
Okay, so have we received a report from the county MPD certifying that training is up to date?
No, we have not.
Okay. So at this time, training is...
The training is up to date.
According to...
According to the state and according to our medics. So we just need to get sign off, and this week, Dr. Sullivan is in surgery, so we will probably not be meeting until the first or second week in August. Okay, new business. Chief.
Yes, Commissioners. Caitlin Johnson, our EMTs, she's due to have a baby in October, and so she's going to be going on flight duty effective August 1st. And so what's happened in the past is that we're going to put her on light duty, and then she will be on maternity leave and then come back on light duty. So we're anticipating it'll be the last 5 months of the year. It'll be August to the end of December. So we're needing to hire somebody to replace her while she's on light duty and off. So we put it out there. Got a budget that for the 5 months that's going to cost us. With benefits, $27,360, which we do have money in our funding for this. So we put our applications out. We have six very, very good applicants from our volunteers that put their names in, and so we're just looking to have your approval to hire such person on for August 1st.
When is light duty part-time?
No, part-time means that Caitlin is, it would be no longer be able to lift, mm-hmm. so lift patients, lift oh. heavy mm-hmm. equipment, so she'll be able to work here mm-hmm. 40 hours a week.
Okay.
But she's just not able to
go on call.
Well, she could drive. Okay. We have her drive, mm-hmm. but we can't have her lift the gurney, lift the equipment, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I just remember reading the projected budget for 2018, and we had just showed $5,000 left over at the end of all of our costs. So I'm wondering where the $27,360 is coming from.
We are going to be giving you a new budget next month. So this new budget will have it reflected.
That's our amended budget
mm-hmm. for the year. Okay. So you guys will be having that next month. And then also, too, we're toying with the idea of hiring two additional EMTs, so that way we have EMTs around the clock. So
this new budget found more money somehow? No.
Well, no, this would be existing money.
Okay.
And we have monies in there that I'm not going to put a security system or up the security system in this building, so there's some money there, and then there's also a net effect that if I have paid EMTs here at the scene, I won't be using EMTs volunteer EMTs who are on call. So there's a net effect of that. So we are crunching the numbers right now on that, mm-hmm. And if you're happy with the response times that I gave you, then we don't have to look any farther. If you want to see more improvement on those response times, then we need to be looking at getting hiring some full-time people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just am seeing this for the first time today, so the response time, so I would like some time to look at it. And of course, the goal is to improve service. So
I'd just like to make sure that the commission is okay with hiring the temporary backup EMT.
Let's go ahead and just make a motion for that then. Somebody want to make a motion to go ahead and hire the temporary replacement?
Yeah, I make a motion that we hire a temporary replacement.
Okay.
To accommodate maternity leave for EMT Caitlin Johnson.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
I'm certainly inclined to support this, but I am concerned about the finances, being that this is a larger expense than what we're... I mean, what was your security system going to cost?
$20,000.
I think that that's two different things. That the temporary replacement for Caitlin is not the $27,000.
For that position, yeah, for to hire a replacement person for her for 5 months would come out to a total of $27,000, and that includes benefits as well.
Okay.
You're and anticipating.
Then,
oh,
sorry. Go ahead.
Please first.
So that with so and Caitlin, then we're paying her a maternity leave. So, but that's not 100% of the salary.
Correct. So Caitlin will be on light duty until, and then she'll be off on maternity leave for 2 months.
Okay. Mark.
In regard to the budget revision, you're anticipating increased revenue for the county?
We are, right now, our the money that we're receiving is higher than normal, and the our expenses are lower. So we do have the $27,000, and after we send you an amended budget, Chris and I have been working on that, and we've been just eyeballing this to see where we're at. And we should be having that out to you guys here in a couple, 3 weeks, I think, for your review prior to the next meeting. So there is money for this position.
I would like to see the amended budget before we vote on this, personally.
When is Caitlin due? I'm sorry.
August 1st.
October.
She's going on to light duty August 1st.
Right. And her doctor has told her that she can't be doing any lifting.
So we're talking about making a decision before August 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead.
In supporting my motion, the chief said that we have sufficient funds to fund this position. So I take his word for it, forthwith. The other thing is that Caitlin Johnson is an outstanding EMT. And is the epitome of the work ethic, and I think we need to offer her any reasonably based support as we can to retain her in the future.
And it was last year that I, the commitment that I made to the board is that we would put our EMTs, that we'd have them during the day 7 days a week. And if we don't do this, we wouldn't be making that promise to our taxpayers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm certainly in favor of supporting the EMS staff. It's very important. But I still am anxious to see the amended budget regarding this expenditure.
Well, we're not going to be able to see the amended budget before we have to start paying Caitlin.
We have to vote on it now?
So we have a first and a second in discussion, so should we take a vote? So all in favor of hiring the temporary replacement for Caitlin?
Aye.
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 Okay, four ayes. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Commissioner.
So at this point, we are going to adjourn to executive session per RCW 42.30.1101C to consider the minimum price at which real estate will be offered for sale or lease when public knowledge regarding such consideration would cause a likelihood of decreased price. Final action, selling or leasing this, will be taken in open meeting, so we will return back here to give you any action that was taken in that meeting.
How long?
And we shall be gone for, should we go for 20 minutes? 20 minutes.
So, 4:40, around 4:40.
So you call me back?
We'll call you back upstairs.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Can I get a copy of the report? I could go ask someone to vote. Oh, sorry.
Can you? Can you email in your request? Write it down. I can't. It's really hard to deal with it right in the middle.